The Marquis is Trapped. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1886. The Marquis of Kexley closed his eyes. He was feeling incredibly tired, which was hardly surprising considering his lovemaking had been extremely fiery. Not only that evening, but for the previous nights. He felt sleepy and yawned. "It's time I went home. Ugh, otherwise, when I wake up, it will be morning." "In fact, my dearest Oliver," a soft voice came from beside him, "that would be very much easier and happier for both of us." For a moment, the Marquis did not understand what she was saying. Then he stiffened. It had never, for one moment, entered his head that Lady Heywood would want to marry him. He thought now that he had been very stupid. He had not remembered that, as she was a widow, it would be a big step up the social ladder for her to become a marchioness. After being pursued by women from the moment he left school, the Marquis was only too well aware of his own importance. He not only held an old and respected title, but he was exceedingly rich. And although he tried not to think about it for fear of being conceited, he was outstandingly handsome. Now, as he felt Isabel Heywood moving closer and still closer to him, every instinct in his body warned him of danger. "If we were to be married, my dearest," Isabel was whispering so that he could only just hear her, "I know we would be very, very happy. You are undoubtedly the most wonderful lover any woman could want, and I would make you a dedicated and devoted wife." The Marquis had to admit that this was true. Lady Isabel Heywood had taken the social world by storm when she first married Lord Heywood, who was nearly 30 years her senior. He had brought her proudly to court, and naturally the beau monde had a great deal to say about the stupidity of any man who married a woman young enough to be his daughter. However, Lord Heywood was infatuated, as a great number of other men were to be in the years to come. Isabel was the daughter of a country squire, who was of local significance, but not rich enough to give her a season in London. That would have involved a ball and innumerable luncheon and dinner parties, all of which would have cost money, and he much preferred to spend his rather meagre income on his horses and the crops on his estate. Isabel had thus remained somewhat unnoticed in a country where most of the men were near her father's age. It was by chance that Lord Heywood, whilst visiting the Lord Lieutenant of Hertfordshire, had asked to see the horses of his neighbour. Lord Heywood had been a widower for many years after his wife had died in childbirth, meaning that he had never had the son he longed for. "I hear he has some outstanding mares," said Lord Heywood, "and I would like to purchase one or two of his, as my own mares are, well, they're getting old." Isabel's father was suffering badly from an arthritic leg that prevented him from walking far, so it had fallen to Isabel to take Lord Heywood around the stables and paddock where the mares were grazing. By the time he had left Isabel to return to the Lord Lieutenant's house, he had acquired 2 horses and lost his heart. There was certainly no question of the squire and his daughter not being thrilled by the offer of marriage. In her wildest dreams, Isabel had never thought of herself ever marrying a gentleman with a title, nor of being fated by the beau monde that she had read all about in newspapers and magazines. When she was presented to the Prince of Wales, she thought she must have been dreaming. She became hostess at one of the most impressive houses in Park Lane, and she was well aware of the power and attraction of her beauty. 6 years later, Lord Heywood had a stroke and died after being unconscious for over 3 months. After the funeral, Isabel felt she had everything she could ever desire in life, and she had only to cast her green eyes in the direction of a man to know that he was entirely captivated. However, she harboured no intention whatsoever of marrying again and letting a man gain control of the money her husband had left her. Yet, when she first met the Marquis of Kexley, her world turned a somersault.